Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. For the staff of 605 Magazine, surrounding themselves with design helps keep those creative juices flowing. Their September issue is now available across South Dakota, and it shows a wide array of design from art that helps businesses and fundraisers to black veil burlesque. We're joined by our friends from 605 Magazine to dig a little deeper into the new issue. We've got publisher Alana Snyder and director of sales and marketing John Schneider. They've stopped by the Kirby Family Studio. Welcome, guys. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having us.
You got a little one at home, so...
Yes.
We talked about this last
time. Fresh baby at home.
Yeah, I escaped.
We've turned these monthly segments into baby updates, so...
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if you heard how huge he was. He just came out wearing, like, three-month clothing, so...
Right,
well. Giant baby.
But everything's good is the update.
That's good. All right. So let's talk a little bit about this issue. When do you want to begin? This is art and design feature.
Well, one that I'm really excited about is what you mentioned already, the Black Veil Burlesque. And that's a burlesque group in Rapid City. And they're doing a lot of really cool stuff. They just recently had a cowboy-themed burlesque show, and there's one coming up September 14th at Hay Camp Brewing Company in Rapid, and it's the Bad Wolf Cabaret. So imagine what that could behold. I don't know really what the, but they like make these amazing costumes, and Hubbard Visuals, who's a photographer for us out there, took really cool photos of their last show. Yeah. And it's pretty epic.
It's you can think like, oh, burlesque show, this could be like mid-card, like, okay, they do a great job.
What's the appeal? Because in order to do this, you really have to do it well.
Yes.
I mean, you're all in at this point if you're going to go show up and do burlesque. So the costuming has to be great. The performances have to be great. The lighting has to be great.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, otherwise it ends up looking kind of, problematic.
If you see these images, they're really, really detailed costumes. And I mean, I think they make all their own. And what the really cool thing too is that they have burlesque classes that you can take. So you can, there's like one called the Awkward Tease. You can learn about that and you can get as like into it as you want to, or you can just, you know, you can dip your toe in it. And there's Brewlesque, where you get a Hay Camp beer with your class. Or you can do like a whole burlesque 101 series where you start to finish, do your own burlesque dance.
What's the appeal?
I think just expression and, that's what the females that we interviewed said, that it's just being someone else on stage and kind of channeling a different part of you that's inside, but it's kind of hidden day to day.
I would need a lot of those brulesques to get into that.
Some might need, more brulesques than others.
You know, every
to
once
perform,
in a while we just say, hey, it's not for everybody, and that's perfectly all right. Not everything is for everybody, but this definitely has an audience that's drawing in because of It sort of has a newness to it right now as well.
Yeah.
Even though it's old.
Right.
It's an old art form made new again.
But
what's new
back
is old. What's old is new. Does that work?
Is new.
All right. Tell us a little bit about the Green Couch. The Green Couch Project out in the Black Hills. Still. We're on page 46.
Yes.
For people who have their magazines open and
reading along,
traveling along with us, which is always fun.
Yeah. So this is photographer Mason Stevens, and he has Tuesday Photography out in the Black Hills. And he just has this really cool studio that's really modern. I mean, speaking of bringing stuff back, he has lava lamps, which I forgot how much I actually missed until I saw them. But there's a green couch that apparently everyone was drawn to whenever he'd do photo sessions. And now he does, I think it's like $10 to just like get your photo taken on the green couch. And he puts it on social media and tells everyone's story. And it's just a fun way to get to know strangers that he's really enjoyed as a project. And right now it's just kind of a passion project for social media, but I thought it was really cool.
So as you go across the state and you meet these people and they're kind of doing these wonky, you know, sort of different things, that's really something that you like to celebrate in the magazine, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just, people doing really random things that, and then like for him, it just makes him happy. And a lot of people are having fun doing it.
This is a perfect story for, it's so detailed and so small, and you would have missed it probably if we just didn't bring this story and kind of put it on our plate. Then we can share it with everyone and you get to read like a very detailed version of a small project and a passion project. It's kind of cool.
Right. Artists doing really interesting things. And don't knock on his door, as a like traveling evangelist or something, I think.
Right.
He'll invite you in and have you take a picture on the couch, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's what he's known to do. Let's look at Meet the Creative this month. And Leslie Cotton, tell us a little bit about him.
So I'm addicted to local art, and I actually, when we were doing the story, bought some of his art after I interviewed him, because it's kind of hard not to.
She did.
He's a really talented artist that actually also works at Lawrence and Schiller during the day, but he has Les Cotton Design Co., and he's inspired, it's like tattoo slash illustration, and he's really known for like doing skull art, like skulls always appear in it. And he works with a lot of businesses like Bread and Circus, Sandwich Kitchen, Looks Market, The Breaks, Coffee Roasting Co., Total Drag, and does a lot of like their t-shirt designs or product designs too.
I think Les and probably Mark Wagner are two people, illustrators that like have their own style that you can recognize from like a mile away.
Mm-hmm. And the funny part too is if you interview or talk to either of them, they list the other one as someone that inspires them. So that's kind of cool.
So, and he talks in this article, too, about, you know, sort of being a designer and working in design, changing who he is as a person. So it's not just that he is using his whole self in his art, but his whole self is changing because of looking around and finding, you know, different design elements in the environment as well.
Well, and the really neat part, too, is he's a huge part of the Sioux Falls Skate Park Association. And they're just trying to raise money for a skate park, and they actually have a block party coming up. I believe it's September 28th at Total Drag, and it's going to be an art supply drive for Rosa Parks Elementary, but there's going to be music and skate demos and competitions and, quote, rad times.
Nice.
Because, you know, the word rad's kind of coming back, too.
That is rad.
Everything old is new. And
yes.
Everything new is old. You know. All right, let's look at some Living Green features. Tell me what this feature is about on page 31.
Yes. So that... was a
Brookings.
Project. Yeah, it's in Brookings, and it was a project with the South Dakota State University Department of Architecture. And I don't know if you've seen any of their other works, but it was also done by Brookings Built Green. And that's a guy, Dustin Hendrickson, who's really talented and does a lot of really cool modern homes that also, as the name says, happen to be green. So
kind of has this house that kind of has a little Scandinavian feel, doesn't it?
It really does.
A little bit of that design.
Very in right now.
Everything that's in. All right, I want to make sure that we talk about your work, John, because you're featured in, is this the first time you've sort of been featured in the magazine as an artist, not just as the work that you do?
Yeah, so it's been fun. I don't consider myself at all like on the level of most of the artists that we feature, but... this is kind of a passion project for me, is medium format film photography and enlargements in the darkroom and stuff like that.
It's film, everything old is new.
Everything old is new, and everything new is old.
All right, kids, film is how we used to take pictures.
And it's so cool to, like, it's been almost 20 years. I don't want to date myself. Maybe 15 years since I did it last. And this is really cool. I got into a nice medium format film camera, which the negatives are huge. And I've been traveling around taking digital photography for the magazine for the last year. And I brought my film camera with me and have taken some choice shots here and there since film's not free. And I kind of put this exhibit together that's going to be this Friday at the Sioux Falls Arts Council Gallery, and that is on 8th Street. And it is going to be 12 to 14, depending on if I like the last two, 16 by 20 enlargements that I've done through like selenium toning and burning and dodging and all of those traditional darkroom techniques.
Describe some of these darkroom techniques for us.
Okay, so you have the negative. I actually kind of shoot that kind of flat. So if you were just to print that, it would look sort of boring. So then what you do is you mask over certain parts of the negative, or you give extra time to certain parts of the negative, and you create a contrast with that and filters, colored filters. If you have a yellow filter, it becomes less contrasty. If you have a red filter, it becomes more contrasty. This is Photoshop before there was Photoshop. And then you can go in, once the print is dry, you re-wet it, and you can take a small brush, and you can take a fairy cyanide bleach, and you can kind of paint and bring up some of the highlights and parts. And it's really weird. It's like...
Are these old techniques that you've picked up somewhere? Is this something that people are doing that's new based on an old technology?
This is old stuff. I had to buy a book from a gentleman named Tim Rudman, who compiled a lot of these recipes of, yeah. Of different chemicals and hypo and ferricyanide and selenium and all these things, and seeing what they do to the temperature of the image and the contrast and deepening the blacks and cutting the mats and framing them. And it's just been so awesome, and it's taken so long, so slow, but it makes you think. And you
So you're traveling around the state and you see something and you're taking, you know, you have it's going to go in the magazine, but now you're also looking as an artist as well. Not that that's not artistic, because it is, but it's a different, you're going to have a different product, a different result. How are you bringing the same artistic eye to that same scene? Or do you have to sort of stop and then say, okay, well, I've made the picture for the magazine. I know that's going to be solid. Now, how can I look at this fresh? I want to get into that process of you as the artist seeing something in more than one way at the same time, really.
I shoot them completely differently, usually, okay. Because we try to shoot journalistically for the magazine as often as we can. And then knowing that this is going to be a black and white, I'll really try to measure the light in the scene on the high end and the low end, and figure out where I place it on the negative, and then where the composition is really important, and just do so many things differently.
Well, and it's moments happening around the shot too, kind of like the ice fishing.
It's kind of the story about it. Like the shot you're looking at right here is
in the studio. We have spread out in front of me this beautiful image of an ice fishing shack. It's sort of bleak and stark, but yet really artistically crafted image here. Tell me about it.
It's out in the distance. It's in Pier, and this is shot in the winter this past year. And you're kind of looking at a really thin strip from left to right of land, and the sky is all white and the ice is all white below. And so it looks like a stripe. And then when you get really close to it, you can see the gentleman standing next to a shack on the ice. And he's the only thing. He's centered out there in the middle of the image with the horizon kind of right above him. And it kind of just fades out.
And there's something about this too, that there's no footprints. There's no tire tracks. All of that is sort of washed away, and you just see this white ice lake wherever he's on.
And it didn't look like that in the negative. I kind of brought that out a little bit through the processing and really separating those tones on the highs and the lows to keep that stark contrast between that center area there and the sky and the ice.
So tell us about some of the other images that we might see in the exhibition.
So one I really like is a story from last month, Float On, where it was the infants learning to swim. I caught a really cute moment of Andrea Oswald, the instructor, and maybe a four-year-old, somewhere in that range, maybe a little younger. I need to get better at this now that we have a kid, figuring out what age they are.
How many months, right?
And he's pulling down his goggles after having a really hard time and kind of looking at her, and she's just smiling, trying to keep him happy. And I just caught this really, really cute moment. And the light is kind of coming through in a way where the back of his head is lit and the front of her face is lit. And then I used the techniques to bring up his face since he was on the dark side. And it's just really cute.
Yeah. What are those moments in the dark room like for you?
Nobody
remembers what a dark room is like. Oh, she's laughing. There's a story here.
I jam out a little bit. I drink a little bit of whiskey and hang out and just kind of.
I had this image of like when I did dark room work in college, you know, because we rolled our own film back. Yeah. Dating myself, and you processed your own, you know, journalistic work. I was always very meditative and quiet. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever said whiskey and music was an option. I should have known.
There's always a point where Ed Sheeran comes on. That's when I know the whiskey's taking effect.
I go where I'm taken.
And it's in our basement. He's turned our basement into a dark room. So the music blasts through the vents. So, you know.
I'm working on that with the newborn, trying to figure out the right balance.
As we talk about what 605 Magazine does, you know, digitally, you can find it online as well. But we're always kind of hyping up this fact that we're, you know, returning to page 45. And, you know, this is a print magazine where you've gone out in person and you've talked to people and you've found the story. And now, John, you're doing this work as well, which is, you know, something that not a lot of people are doing anymore. Figuring out what is the technique that I can do as an artist to create these images that people can come see in a gallery space.
Makes you slow down. It's cool.
Yeah. All right. Slow down. Read the magazine. Travel the state. Find these stories. And say hi to that baby for us.
Thank you.
John and Alana Snyder.
He's a rad baby.
Rad, super
trying
rad.
To bring it back.
Everything Old is New Again, and the new issue of 605 Magazine is on stands now.